Hello, everyone. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're bringing you our weekly podcast called Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Kristen and I met a few years ago through a mom's club in our town, but our friendship really took off when we started sharing the heartaches and successes we both experienced in raising our children in blended families.
We hope to share insights, stories, and a few laughs with you on this crazy and rewarding journey of parenting. So grab your glass of wine, and if something we share resonates with you, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. How are you, Miss Carrie?
Good. How are you?
Good. We have such a super special episode because we're actually together.
Yes, first time.
I know. Usually we're like at night in our rooms drinking wine, doing this separately, but we are doing this in the daytime today and doing it together. So it's very exciting. So today we have episode 16, which is blending burnout when you just want to throw in the towel. So that was my title because of my emotional experience in the past week where you and I were supposed to record the podcast last week. And I just thought, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to take my kids and stop blending gracefully and just be angry and disgruntled about it because there was just a lot of stuff going on. So that's the reason why we have this episode today.
And I think it's good because as much as we are always trying to keep this podcast very positive, we also want to share that we're human and we do have all these other feelings too sometimes that, you know, aren't always as positive.
Yes. So we're going to end on a positive note, but we're going to go through a few different rants to start out with. So
we're going to get real.
We are going to get real. So what happened, and we'll start with the first part of blending burnout, is when your kids are upset. So that to me, and probably for you too, is super difficult when you're trying to, like, I don't know, I call it like the handoff. You're handing your kid off to the other parent and it just doesn't go as you wanted it to. So I had my daughter on Sunday. We had like an awesome weekend together. We went skiing. It was my first time skiing with her. She was doing phenomenally. And then we pull up to meet her dad and she said, I wish, basically, like, today wasn't the day that we were trading off. She wishes it was like 2 days before that. So then I felt a little guilt. And then we saw her dad and I was like, hey, and I wanted to tell him about skiing and she just burst into tears. So that was really difficult.
How did he handle it? And like, and what was your interaction with him then as she's having a breakdown?
Yeah, he handled it really well. 'Cause honestly, this probably just sounds really like self-centered or whatever, but I've never had that experience with her where she didn't want to come with me. So, every time I see her, she's like, yeah, let's do this. So it's always sort of like on his end to manage that. And I think he does a great job. So he, I had planned to meet a friend at yoga. And so he was already there at the studio. And so he just sat there like on a bench outside the classroom for a little bit and just let her kind of like adjust, which was good because you can do one of two things, either let her adjust or just pick her up screaming, which
and put her in the car, right?
Right. So that was good, but it was still like, just like, you know, it's tough if we transition her after a day. It's tough if we transition her for 4 days later. We have, you know, tons of family time, not too much family time. It just like really bothered me in that moment. So how is that for you in terms of like feeling guilt and, you know, a little bit of sadness after they leave?
Definitely. I think unfortunately in my situation, it's the opposite. My son that goes back and forth is never upset to go to his dad's. He always wants to go to his dad's, but he doesn't always want to come home. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we've talked about before, I call our house home for all of our kids and the other parent's house is mom's house or dad's house. But to them, both places are home, which is good. But in my gut, that still burns me as much as I'm trying to work through that. You know, he's never upset. So sometimes he won't want to come home or back to my house. And it still bothers me. It's still like a knife to the heart kind of thing when they don't want to come back. but I haven't, it hasn't happened recently. I mean, he's 8 now. So when he was littler and he would have like the total breakdowns and be screaming, and that was always hard. And we've always done the transitions at home. So my ex will actually bring him into the house and he'll sometimes hang out for a little bit. Like, you know, I might have a beer with my husband, like depending on what the situation is. Like yesterday when he picked him up, he sat down and did his homework with him because we were all doing homework. So he sat down, we all finished the homework, and then they left. So he allows him to have a little bit of a transition time. I know you guys usually do like parking lot transfers.
Yeah, we do, because it's always a Sunday morning, and I feel like my daughter's dad wants to like just get on with his, you know, understandably, like his time. So like drop her off at church, drop her off at the gym, drop her off, you know, at whatever. So there isn't a lot of like transition time there. And I guess we kind of did that because it's always been difficult. So it's like a lot of times she does cry, and it's just, you know how kids are, like you kind of like get them, they're crying, you put them in the car, and I just assume they stop crying, you know, pretty soon.
Right.
So
or fall asleep sometimes.
But yeah. Because we did do a time where like I would go in to the diner with them and she'd stop crying. And then, you know, then it was time for them to like go get their table. Then she'd start crying again. So it was just like, you know, delaying the crying. So, that's how we've done it.
And I think it's an age thing. I think as they get more and more used to this scenario, the dynamic will become easier. There's always going to be different obstacles and different challenges as they get older, but they'll be completely used to it. I mean, she's, how old is she? 6?
She's going to be 6, yeah.
So she'll get used to it, and she'll know that, okay, I always, for me, think, like, consistency is good. So I'll try, be like, okay, it's every Wednesday, and it's going to be at karate. That's where we're going to do the exchange. And as much as I want that to happen, it doesn't always work. Like, life doesn't happen. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. we don't go to karate on Wednesdays or whatever. So she's going to have to just get used to, and she will. She'll get used to the fact that it's just kind of not always the same. It's just, today's my day, and
yeah, and you know what was really helpful that you said? So I was feeling, like, just super sad after that. Like, oh, this is, you know, we've been doing this stupid blending for 5 years and it's still rough. And then you said that she was at cheer on Tuesday, cause that's not my day to have her. And that she was crying when her grandmom dropped her off, cause she didn't want to leave her grandmom on her dad's side. So I was like, okay, she's just in a crying thing right now. Yeah. She's just like emotional and it doesn't have anything to do with me. And I like over-personalize things. So that was really helpful just to kind of like take a step back.
Good. It makes you kind of think, you know, maybe it's just a phase the child's going through and not necessarily me. I do the same thing. We think everything's, it's my fault. Like, you know, does she not want to be here because of me or, you know?
Yes. Yes. So let's go to disruption of life events and schedule. So I'll give you the backstory on this one since these are all my points, all of my issues that I'm working out today.
That's good.
So my daughter, you know, we get her report card. Was it like second or third marking period? I don't even know. So I see at the bottom her amount of absences was like 13, and this was back in January, I guess. So I guess it was second marking period. And I know she was going to be away for a week with her dad, so that was going to be close to 18, and it's only February at that time. So also he was going to take her to Florida, and then, you know, she's going to get sick, and I was like going to take her places. So I was just thinking like how challenging it is having basically two lives where you're wanting to plan all these things with the kids, and now she's got like 20, you know, vacations, absences from school because we have to like double everything, and you know how now we have to plan it better and stuff like that. But it was just like a little frustrating, like, this kid.
I know with my stepdaughters, that's actually written in their agreement. So each party gets 2 weeks of vacation time, which obviously on the custodial parent side doesn't really matter because they have them full time. But the 2 weeks, 1 week's allowed to be during the school year and 1 week has to be in the summer.
Oh.
So same kind of rule for both parents. Now that doesn't mean that everybody abides by that, but that's trying to like cut down on the amount of school times. Because, right, like, what if one parent always wants to go during the school year?
Totally.
And then,
yeah, because, you know, if you have good time off and stuff like that, it was like a week in the fall, a week in the winter, or, you know, time off for her birthday and stuff. And then, yeah, you basically, she's like missing a whole month of school. So, yeah, so that was just something, and that really has to do with us communicating about going forward. Yeah, we can only do one day or one week during the school year. So the other thing was when the kids are sick, and that's always like I find the most anxiety provoking for me, across the board. It's like I just reach a whole new level of like stressed out when my kids are sick, and I know I have to hand them off. Yeah. So how is that for you?
I think that's always awful. I mean, even if you don't have to give them to another parent, you have to go to work because you have clients to see that day and you can't reschedule last minute, right? You always feel guilty. Like, I personally feel okay if I'm leaving them with, like, my husband, my mom, or my mother-in-law. If it's anybody else that I have to leave them with, it's like, oh, my God, I can't stay at work. I have to go home because you don't... Yeah. I have babysitters that I love to death, but it's not my mom and it's not me. You know what I mean? I had once when my daughter was a baby, like two or under, and we were on a family vacation in North Carolina, and my husband had his own airplane at the time, so half the family flew down on the plane, and Lucas and I flew down commercially, because at the time his dad was not comfortable with him getting in a personal aircraft,
right,
which was fine, and we were respecting that. So anyway, we're getting ready to go home, and Lucas and I were flying back commercially, and the rest of the family was coming back later. Well, they're dropping us off at the airport. Reagan has a fever. She's hysterical. Mm. And then I'm crying and everybody else is crying. And I'm like, this is awful. And I'm like splitting the family up for, you know, unforeseen circumstances. But yeah, right. And I was leaving her with her dad and my mother-in-law.
Right. So,
but anytime I feel like you have to leave your child sick is hard.
But also hard in that moment because you had to bring your son back to his dad. And it's kind of like, that's where I was last week. Like, this is just so annoying. It's just like an extra level of crap they have to go through, you know, where it's like, oh, I have to leave my daughter to go do this. But I think you're right. Like, I feel that way. Like, when we were still together, like, dropping her off if she wasn't fully better at daycare, you know, and still like snotty and stuff as a baby. But yeah, it's always my concern it's time to like hand the kids off of like, you know, are they going to check their temperature as well? Are they going to give them medicine like they should, you know? And now that the girls are older, it's a little better and they can definitely, you know, talk for themselves and say what they need or, you know, like they'll call me or we'll communicate about different things. So it is better, but it just, yeah, it's hard.
It is. And nobody's going to be as good as you at taking care of your kid. And I think that's probably just a mom thing. Like, I don't think, I mean, adding the blending to it adds that like extra aggravation that you have to take your child and drop them off to the other parent. But I think if you have the good communication and you have a trust, I guess, in the other parent. You know, for me, I trust, but I also know that my mother-in-law is a nurse. So, and I knew he would always call his mom if there was anything. So it still stunk that he wasn't with me and I didn't know how his fever was. I didn't know, but we always have gotten along well enough that I can call and say, hey, or like, what's going on? Or he would say, what's the dose of Tylenol I need again?
Right.
Because he couldn't get a hold of his mom or whatever. So it was not ever so awful. I mean, the worst story I have is when I had to leave Reagan in North Carolina. Like, that was bad. But what about if, you know, she's sick, gets sick while she's with your ex? Like, then does he call you or does he just, like, not tell you? Or how do you find out?
Yeah. So it's funny. So in both situations, I don't think it's ever really happened where... like the girls got sick and they got taken to the doctor. It almost always happens is like, oh, I think they're not doing so well. I think something's up. And then I get them and it's like, oh, they have 102 fever, you know, like what the hell? Does anybody own a thermometer in this joint? So, I think that also like perpetuates it is like, you know, my mom's a nurse too. So we're super like, up on temperatures and making sure the medicine, and if, you know, the symptoms don't clear up in 2 or 3 days, taking them to the pediatrician. So, I feel like by the time I get them, you know, that it's like, okay, now we got to do something, which is fine because then I'm the one that ends up taking them to the doctor. I'm the one that, you know, has them for a few days in a row after that and sort of like gets them to where they need to go so that when I hand them off, you know, they're in a better place. So that's just always been the pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that maybe sometimes the dads are almost hesitant because they don't want to overreact to take them to the doctors. And I can say I'm sometimes that way too. Like Reagan's been dealing with some stomach thing and I can't quite tell if she is just trying to get out of school because they're all three of them like kind of in this, like, I don't want to go to school today mode or something's wrong. And you hate to like poo-poo it and just ignore it. But, you know, one day she says it feels like it's like a wavy in her stomach and she's like giving me these hand motions like this. And then the next day she's like, well, today it feels like this. I'm like, what does that even mean? I'm like, go to school. You're fine. Right. So I don't know, but you hate to like not recognize what they're feeling. I don't know. I feel like it's just like a mom thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. And it's probably my personality too. Like I'm a little bit more, you know, up on that. Other stuff I definitely let go, but that's like a thing with me. Yeah. But for you,
I don't know. I don't know if it's because of my background professionally or just because I'm trying not to be overreactive. Plus my pediatrician's 25 minutes from my house. So if I know I'm going to go there and she's going to be like, well, we'll just keep an eye on it. Like, why did I drive all the way down here?
Yes.
And
yes.
Our pediatrician doesn't ever prescribe antibiotics or medications, which I love.
Yeah.
But then I know it's like not worth going there because I could assess the same thing.
That's funny because I feel like it's a good reason for me to get out of work. So I'm like, oh, let me just pick the girls up early today and just, you know, whatever happens at the doctor, we'll just, you know, go out to lunch afterwards or whatever. So, okay, next thing. So how about in the vein of like shared calendars and stuff like that. So about like missing events. So, I know we have like, so I'm going to take maybe Rylan skiing next weekend, but she has a birthday party for a little boy that she's going to miss, or, you know, like that there are things that I would want her to do, but it's not on my day. So I don't end up going to the birthday parties. Like, you know, it's almost like these two lives that you have to combine into one calendar. And I don't know if that happens with all kids because like all kids are just busy and you have to like prioritize, or if that's just a challenge of blending families.
I think probably both. I agree. Like we probably are all guilty of overscheduling ourselves and our kids, and they're going to miss stuff because they have another party or they have a sports event or whatever. I think adding the blending and the second life and the second family just adds another thing. You know, their calendar is just probably a little bit busier.
Yeah.
And I think you and I do the same thing. We kind of check the calendar. You get the birthday invite. And you're like, okay, are they with me or their dad? And if they're with their dad, I just take a screenshot of the invitation. Mm-hmm. I send it to them. I'm like, you need to RSVP. This is on your weekend. Or let me know and I will. But do you want to go or not?
Right.
9 times out of 10, he'll be like, well, how good of a friend is it? Does he really want to go? And if he does, he'll make it happen. And if he doesn't, or it's not that big a deal, I'll say, I probably wouldn't worry about it. It's a half hour from your house, like just to get him here. We only live, you know, 30 minutes apart, so it's not a huge deal, but for me growing up, that was never even an option. My dad was 2 hours away. So if there was anything on his weekend, it was just a no, which probably was good for my mom. It was like less things to do and less birthday parties to go to.
Right. I think that's funny that your ex is like, oh, how good of a friend is it? Cause that's something that like runs through my mind. I'm like, oh, we don't even know this kid. Like it's fine. Cause you know, but we need to go to the last day of cheer. So we're not going to go do this. Like you kind of have to prioritize.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which I think is probably normal life. I think it just adds an extra layer of complexity to their lives because they have two lives
and only two weekend days. So
All right, so moving on to adults not blending gracefully. I know this was your topic too, so I'm gonna let you start it.
Yes. So this one was about, you know, you're trying to blend and you're trying to be nice and you're trying to be like cordial and respectful, and just when the other person doesn't really blend so gracefully back. So like for me in the past week, so we went from texting about how we were going to like hand off my daughter and when and where and stuff like that to all of a sudden to doing it over email, which I was just like, when did that happen? Now I got to check my Yahoo email, like every whatever. So it just makes it difficult in terms of like, you know, putting the best foot forward when the other person is not putting their best foot forward. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, my ex and I have always been able to text or phone call. We even FaceTime, you know, if whatever, to talk to our son, and don't really have that issue. Now there's been times where he really ticks me off and then I'm like, I can't, I hang up on you and I just, I'm not going to talk to you for a little bit till I calm down. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, it's email only or through attorneys. There is no texting. There's definitely no calling. And then most of the time it's through an attorney that doesn't even go like directly. The only time it goes direct email is if it's like an urgent issue or just like a FYI kind of thing. And we are 6 years out from divorce.
Yeah.
So it's like still.
You're right. So it just, I guess, depends on like the personalities. Like if you have a good situation, it's pretty much going to be cool mostly from the beginning. Like it kind of, you know, it has a rough period and then it turns. But other personalities, you're probably expecting just that different level of communication.
Yeah, and I don't personally see like a big difference between texting and emailing. Do you? I mean, you can still sit there and like proofread it and think about it before you hit send.
Yeah, I guess it was just like a 5-word email. Like, can we meet here? Or not even can. It was like, I'll be here at this time. And that was it. And I was like, why would you need to email?
Kind of
like, I understand if you're like, you know, you got to do paragraphs. Actually, I was talking to a client about this the other day because he separated from his wife and they stopped texting and started doing emailing. And I get like, you know, if you're talking about bills and custody and, you know, things with the house and the divorce process, but, you know, where you want to like think and be clear and stuff. I just thought, I was like, ugh. It just seemed like sort of like retaliatory.
Like, I'm not going to text you.
Yeah. So I was like, that's fine.
I have to say, though, the one big difference I'll point out between text and email is obviously documentation.
I know.
Email, you can save it all. And so I screenshot a lot of stuff with texting, but that gets annoying, too, because you have, like, this whole file of pictures that you have to save.
Right.
So emailing definitely is better for those purposes.
Yeah. So do we want to talk about adults not blending gracefully with money? Or is that just...
I mean, yeah, let's talk about it. Why not? I mean, I think money is probably like the number one issue in all relationships, right? In most of them, whether you're blended, whether you're divorced, whether you're together, they say that's like one of the leading causes of divorce in the first place. We have all kinds of money issues in our blended families. Mm-hmm. But what happened that made you put this topic down?
I was just thinking, I was thinking actually, cause I think I wrote this right after I saw my client. But also I don't have that at the moment, but I just foresee that being an issue where, you know, you just want to do things sort of like 50-50 on my time, your time. It's just, I guess like a point that you can be contentious about whether it's like really an issue or not, you know, like if you can be 50-50, cool. But I think it's just a reason, and probably this is your experience with your whole blended situation, a reason to fight, you mm-hmm. know, and you're like, let's just, why do we have to do this? It's just, you know, it's just another draining part of it.
Yeah. And I can tell you, I think that money has been more of an issue in my situation between my husband and I, as it relates to my ex-husband and I, because my husband is very like focused on, well, this isn't fair because you only work 20 hours because you're home caring for children. And whether you have just the one kid or you have all these kids, you would still be doing the same thing. Whereas he's working a full-time job, doesn't have any other kids, and it's not a 50-50 dynamic. That's his impression and what his point of view is. I just don't want to fight about it. It's not worth it. I want to be able to say, if he needs a new pair of sneakers or he needs cleats for baseball this weekend, and he goes and gets it. And that's kind of what we've done. So it's been a source of contention between my husband and I, because he doesn't agree with my point of view. But it works because, you know, I'll say, hey, we're doing a birthday party on this date. Does that date work for you? Yep. Great. I'm like, okay, I'm going to spend $500. Will you give me half? And he says, yep, here it is. Puts it in my bank account and it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on my husband's side of that dynamic, that just doesn't happen at all. And I'm like, I would just rather have it this way. I don't want to fight about it. It's just not that important.
Yeah. And I do think that's probably where we came up with the blending gracefully title from. Because it isn't always fair, but it's what you have to do to extend yourself to get something in return or just make it, you know, more positive in that moment. Like you could, you know, do the whole spreadsheet of like, you should give me this and this and this and this. But, you know, if you just sort of like extend yourself, then you get that back in return in other ways.
Right. And I think that makes a good point. It's like fairness. My kids are all super focused on, that's not fair right now. And you know what? nothing's fair. Life is not fair. It's not fair that we got divorced in the first place. It's not fair that you have to go back and forth. It's not fair.
Right.
And, you know, dad makes more money than I make. So is the what I get fair? Nope. But it works. It allows us to have a graceful and peaceful relationship. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I think that he is thriving because of that. Like, the fact that he could sit there at my kitchen table yesterday and do homework with all of us and my other kids and help my other kids, too. Like, it's just better.
Awesome.
It's better that way.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think money is one of those things that as much as you want to do things gracefully, it's probably always going to come up at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, I say this all very positively, but there are definitely times when we're not in agreement on financial. We still own a house together. Mm-hmm. We still pay bills together. Like, so there's still stuff.
Yep.
And he might have a totally different perspective than the one I just gave. I don't know.
We're having him on next episode.
Yeah.
So last part of my rant, and then we'll go into positive things. So checking about dates. So then this is the last thing that happened in like the last week is, so just having to, like, as an adult, check with another adult who you're not married to anymore about like things in life. So, a vacation that you want to have in May or a birthday party that you want to plan for your kid that you have to like run it by another person so that they can say like, yay or nay, or no, I was going to do this, or no, that's not a good time for me. And you sort of like are still always considering, you know, that other person's like influence in your life, even though you're not together.
And I think for you, you're going to have more than the one person, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to have both girls' dads that you're going to, like, if it's a party for one of your girls, you're going to have to consult with both of them to make sure you have it. Then consult with yourself. Then if you are in a relationship, consult with that schedule. You're going to be managing, like, you're going to need a secretary.
I know. Really, that's why I had a breakdown.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's a lot. No, for sure. And we do the same thing. Like, I have, like, my older stepdaughter is 20 now. So I got to check that calendar. She's got her own life.
Right.
Check mine. Check my ex. Check the other, my other stepdaughters that are with their mom. Like, it's just always a scheduling nightmare. For summertime, I like print out schedules and it takes me weeks to like figure out who's going where, what are we doing,
right? Camps and stuff like that,
vacations. Yep. Who, when are you with this parent, when are you here, when, what do you have going on? And it is like you feel like it's a job.
So, well, thank you for saying that. So how do we regroup? First things first, get a podcast.
Yeah, where you can talk with your friends.
Talk with your girlfriend about how difficult it is. So venting to friends and family. So I started sharing a little bit more this week with some friends that didn't know like my whole situation, which felt good in the moment. And then I immediately was like, ooh, maybe I shared too much. Like, you know, because it's, like, hard to keep all your stuff personal and, like, you don't want to burden people with it. But I think it is really helpful for people to know, you know, what's going on in your life.
It is. And I, you are a very personal and private person, which I don't think that I am, but of lately, and specifically since I've gotten married the second time and we have a lot more drama, I definitely like cut back on how much I share with people, because you just don't know like who's friends with who or what is going to come out the wrong way. So I totally get that, but it does help to talk about it, because, you know, each friend's going to have a different perspective or experience to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the bottom line, was like the friend that I shared stuff with on Sunday was like, you know, very honest, very, like, I thought she was actually going to have, like, a different perspective on it, but she had, it was really cool. She grew up in a family where her parents stayed together, even though they weren't, you know, really in love. It was clear that they should not be together, and they stayed together for the kids, the kids felt like, when is dad going to leave? Like, you know, it just was such a toxic environment. So, you know, she had a perspective on that and how she viewed her mom, which I felt really helpful. So it was just great in the end. So yeah. So share when you can.
Definitely.
Just, you know, you guys like venting to each other, you and your husband, getting that support, because do you guys tend to share about that, or you try not to like make your relationship negative by sharing about all the crap going on?
We do. I mean, we have to talk about it, and it, I wouldn't say it's as helpful emotionally. It's more just like, we have to discuss this. Like, so if there's like a settlement agreement or there's like scheduling plans and we need to like iron some stuff out, we need to discuss it first. But I don't personally find it like emotionally helpful, because I love my husband to death, but he's a man, and it's, like, not, like, talking to you. Yeah. Like, it's just a totally different perspective. Like, right. I would get much more emotional, like, therapy and help talking to my girlfriends than I do.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. Like, there's, like, the practical stuff you need to discuss. You have one person for that, and then you have, like, the emotional stuff from another person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
like, I talk to my husband about the emotional. Oh, yeah. I share it with him, but it's just his, he doesn't understand my perspective, usually, because mm-hmm. he's a man.
Mm-hmm, that's just, mm-hmm. Just different
life.
yeah. I also thought just giving yourself time to be upset. Like, I know for me, like, when you're like, do you want to do the podcast tonight? And I'm like, no, I'm just, like, in a bad place. Like, I can't really talk about anything right now. So I have learned to, like, just give myself the night. And for me, like, I'm a good sleeper generally. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, I'm glad that's over. So, you know, next day I can move on. And just,
you are totally like that. Like, at night you're like, I hate everything. And you wake up, you're like, hi, good morning.
Hi, I'm cool. Yeah. So let's do this.
Today's a new day.
Yeah, it is. I try to be that way. So, I think it's just important to give yourself time to process and be upset and whatever, you know, you're kind of good self-care is, if it's exercise, if it's going, like, that's for me, really meeting up with my girlfriends, going out to, you know, lunch, having a glass of wine together. That's what I find most helpful for me. How about for you? What's your
same? And exercising too, like you mm-hmm. said, I think, like, just getting that, like, frustration out. I like to, like, blast my music and just
yeah.
kind of zone out for a little bit, but definitely talking with friends. And even, like, I have a couple friends that live far away, so I'll call them, and just having that time to, like, chat and just vent it out and not yeah. have to worry about
right yeah
that helps too.
Yeah. Sharing with people who understand. So, you know, just I think that's what's been kind of the coolest thing, is that I thought, like, when I first started out, you know, that, like, sort of the divorced mom, you know, not single mom, but I guess single mom in some way, but, you know, just that we're such a small, tiny universe, and now I realize, like, there's so many parts to it. It's so overlapping. Like, even my friend on Sunday, who is not divorced, has never been divorced, but that she, because of her mom going through something similar, could, like, relate to me. I think that's what's really nice, is you think people don't understand, but if you do open up, everybody can kind of relate to you in some way or another.
I agree. And, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, blended is not abnormal anymore. I mean, mm-hmm. probably, like, half of my kids' friends have some type of blending in their family. So when I was growing up, it was not that normal.
Yeah.
But now it's pretty normal, I think. Like, yeah. I don't want to say it's good or bad. I think, you know, you make it work, whatever your family dynamic is. But I think, like you said, if you open up to more people, you're going to find that pretty much everybody has some, yep. they're touched by it somewhere.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. So, this is your part.
This was my last one. So, trying to keep it positive, one, like, tip of things not to do, I would say. So when all of these things are happening and you're like, I just want to throw in the towel, I feel like I'm a competitive person. So my tendency is to compete with, I'm going to call it, the other side.
Right.
And you want to, like, outdo, or you want to, okay, well, you're going to plan this party, I'm going to plan this party. And I don't allow myself to actually do it, but I have those thoughts. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, you're taking her to this, well, I'm going to take her to this. And I'm assuming that that's a normal tendency, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But a tip of what not to do, because is that really helping anybody? And what are you teaching your kids? Like, okay, so, you know, they have a birthday party over here, and then there's a movie. I don't know if I can remember the movie, but where, you know, dad planned a fun birthday party or something, so mom plans this big extravagant, like, the elephants come and there's, like, right. camels and, like, just to outdo. And at the end, it's a huge, big flop, and who got hurt by it?
Right.
Right?
Right, right, right. So, yeah, I think it's good. So in therapy, would say, you know, it's good you have the awareness, the emotional awareness to know, like, oh, that probably isn't a good thing to do. It's really hard to stop yourself from doing, but mm-hmm. that's step one.
Yeah,
is the awareness. So it's good. You're conscious about it. You're just, you know, it's just hard because that's, like, something in you that's, like, competitive, and that's cool, but mm-hmm.
But it's not helpful to blend gracefully. It's going to actually do the opposite and drive a wedge. Because your kids see all this, right? They can see what's going on and,
yeah.
you know, tell your children that, actually, this happened this week, and then we'll wrap it up. But
yeah.
The kids, as they get older, are intelligent enough to see their parents sometimes as people and see, like, okay, you're just being ridiculous. And so this past week, one of our kids came over after school that wasn't on a scheduled our day. And then the other parent got really upset because probably because she didn't know where she was.
Right.
But then refused to come pick her up. And it was just like a battle of wills. So, you know, my daughter's saying, I'm not going home. And she's saying, well, I'm not coming to get you. And it was just, all it did was leave everybody uncomfortable and kind of like weirded out because nobody knew what to do.
Right.
And they see it. Like, she's, you know, she's like, why are you guys acting like this? Like, just take me home. Or right. Take me where just I'm supposed
somebody
to be.
Bring me somewhere.
Yes, I can't drive. Like, just take me.
Yeah.
So anyway, don't try to compete. It doesn't help us blend gracefully.
No. And you should get a podcast.
I think we have one. And I think this was a great, like, last minute topic that we came up with.
Yeah. It all came flowing.
It did.
Yeah.
All right, so we hope we shared something helpful for you today. If something resonated with what you are going through, let us know and share our podcast with your friends. Our goal is to help us all step up in our parenting skills and to blend gracefully. See you next week on Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families.
Cheers!